Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. We've just seen a flurry of updates in the US tech sector, and because I'm deeply exposed to that space, it's obviously something that I always keep an eye on. Although I try not to share too many details around my own portfolio weightings in this podcast, as I'm always scared that people just interpret that as a suggestion for their own money rather than what I've chosen to do with mine based on my own risk tolerance, I did decide to at least discuss my portfolio tilt among the big tech names this week. This is a follow-on from last week's show about Tesla, so let's get into it. I'll start with Microsoft, where in Satya we still trust. A record fiscal year and Microsoft Cloud up 23% with $168 billion in annual revenue. Yes, Microsoft is doing well, and it is incredible to contemplate that kind of growth rate at this scale. Azure is now at $75 billion in annual revenue and up 34% year on year. They have 400 data centers across 70 regions. This is the power of investing in a business like Microsoft, because no matter what the trends are in AI and enterprise technology in general, Microsoft is going to have a piece of the action. The important thing at Microsoft is that they just keep ingraining themselves in the corporate world. Copilot is a perfect example, with the likes of Barclays rolling it out to 100,000 employees and many other big corporate names buying tens of thousands of seats. 90% of the Fortune 100 companies use GitHub Copilot, and as nauseating as I personally find LinkedIn, there are 1.2 billion members and 4 years of double-digit member growth. When it comes to corporate, nobody, and I mean nobody, is bigger and more important than Microsoft. If we look at the group performance rather than just cloud, for example, revenue is up 18%. Sure, there is some lumpiness in here when you are dealing with corporates who do $10 million and even $100 million or bigger deals at a time. But if you do enough of those deals, then you smooth out those lumps anyway because of the broad client base. And although there is a mix effect at play here that led to a 100 basis points decline in gross margin, solid control around expenses helped ensure that cash flow from operations was up 15%. And diluted earnings per share increased 22%. Microsoft is roughly 7% of my total equity portfolio and my largest individual position, and I am more than happy with that. We now move on to Meta, and whether by skill or by luck, Zuck always seems to find a way. Where Microsoft is the enterprise software champion, Meta is the absolute winner in social networks. There are over 3.4 billion people using at least one of their apps every single day. But of course, it's really all about AI. Meta is throwing a fortune at getting the best talent into the group. Say what you will about Zuckerberg, he knows how to build an empire and how to make sure that the most capable people are making his dreams happen. What's the business case for AI? Well, without even getting into the more outlandish stuff like AI sunglasses, we can just use the apps themselves as an example. Generative AI leads to better adverts, particularly for smaller businesses who didn't historically have access to creatives for their ads. Better ads mean more conversion, which in turn means a higher willingness to spend on ads. This makes me a happy investor. Here's another example, the recommendation engine on the apps. Zuckerberg quotes stats that on Facebook and Instagram, they saw an uptick in time spent of 5% and 6% respectively just this quarter. Your Facebook feed may have fewer family photos on it these days and people might be posting less, but they are scrolling away in the background and being served content and ads. Again, I'm a happy investor. Another engine of growth is business messaging. I think that WhatsApp for Business is a real opportunity. With WhatsApp as such a big part of our lives, the obvious thing for businesses is to meet you where you are from a communications perspective. In other words, with automated messaging and support services delivered via WhatsApp, rather than the carrier pigeon equivalent that is an SMS. We now get into the more esoteric stuff, like Meta AI and especially the AI devices. Look, I'm a huge Ray-Ban fan, so a world in which my beloved Ray-Bans have the ability to do Iron Man-esque things when I ask them to would be pretty epic. It's certainly a lot more appealing than those hideous goggles that were doing the rounds a year or two ago. We do seem to have moved past that concept of spatial computing into a world where sunglasses are Zuck's vision of the future. If it sounds crazy to you, just remember that this is the guy who built the online world as we know it today. Meta is around 4.5% of my portfolio now. Again, I'm more than happy with that. Now we get to Apple, the casualty of tariffs. Where Meta and Microsoft are up 32% and 27% year-to-date respectively, Apple is down 17%. This means that it is now 4.2% of my portfolio, and it used to be more. But that's not because I sold down, that's just because it's gone down in value, while other things have gone up. And the funny thing is that I was worried about this outcome this year, and I did very nearly reduce my Apple stake because they are so focused on hardware, which of course makes them vulnerable to tariffs. But I didn't do it, and I haven't done it, because there is a lot of optionality in the Apple model. Apple is the kind of company where they can come out with a blockbuster innovation or product that I would be angry to miss out on if I sold. So I'm sticking around. And thankfully, they had a very decent quarter, even if the market is still too scared to really get back on the bid for this stock, at least at this stage. Revenue was up 10% year on year, earnings per share was up 12%, the iPhone set a June quarter record with 13% growth year on year, and impressive double-digit growth in emerging markets. The all-important services business was good for 13% growth, achieving double-digit growth across both developed and emerging markets, so they're growing everywhere. And here's a particularly ridiculous statistic for you. Apple has now shipped 3 billion, with a billion iPhones since its launch in 2007. That is remarkable. Apple is also responding to the need for more domestic manufacturing capacity in the US to address the geopolitical noise. They're investing $500 billion over the next 4 years in the US, but they're particularly focusing on what they call advanced manufacturing, silicon engineering, and AI. In other words, they are looking at more of the cutting-edge stuff on home soil. But as the tariffs are really on the products themselves and the underlying components, it's not clear that this is going to make too much difference to that risk. Speaking of tariffs, Apple incurred $800 million in tariff-related costs for the quarter. They expect this to increase to $1.1 billion in the September quarter. And this is why gross margin fell 60 basis points quarter on quarter, despite their services revenue growing ahead of the rest of the business, which would usually be a margin accretive outcome. Now we get to the ones that I don't have, because I think they are worth a mention. I do not have a direct position in either Alphabet or Amazon, and I'm quite pleased about that because their year-to-date returns are only 1.4% and 6.7% respectively. The best exposure you could have gotten to the Jeff Bezos legacy this year was to own a hospitality business in Venice rather than shares in Amazon. In the case of Alphabet, my relative bearishness is because I think their search business probably won't win in an AI environment. They had it all their own way for years online, but now the way that people are using the internet is changing at a rapid rate. YouTube is a terrific business, but it's not big enough to offset that risk. As for Amazon, I feel like I already have a lot of cloud exposure in Microsoft, and that's got more of a recurring enterprise feel to it, so I don't really feel the need to double up there. And as impressive as their e-commerce business is, it also just doesn't feel as exciting as many of the other plays in this space competing for my capital in the big tech world. The one that I wish I had bought and I should have bought is Netflix, up 30% year to date, and it's a name that quite frankly I should have been in because I do understand the business, so that's an irritation for me. And kudos to those who have Nvidia, a name that I'm not involved in because I definitely do not pretend to understand the world of chips to the level required to justify buying a significant position beyond the look-through exposure I have by just owning index funds. And just to cap off this magnificent seven-themed discussion, I'll remind you that as I discussed last week on this podcast, I don't own Tesla and I have no plans to change that. So far, so good this year. I'm pretty happy with my big tech portfolio shape, where Microsoft, Meta, and Apple contribute just over 15% of my portfolio. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in Supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.